Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you. Yes, on this seventh day of August 2021, as we start moving into the fall. It's starting. I'm being positive right now, but I love the fall weather, and I love the fall, period. We're going to talk about something that is very important to people, probably more important than anything else in their life. At least that's what I have found in my career. And when I think about the subject we're going to talk about today, I just cringe with delight over the idea of it. It's called our mischief. Buddha termed it mischief. Jesus talked about it in his day as sin. And there is nothing that we love more than our sin and our mischief. There's nothing. I mean, people look forward to doing it, whatever it may be. And I was looking up the word mischief here in the dictionary. It means a playful misbehavior or troublemaking. It's more about troublemaking, not playful. To do harm or trouble caused by someone or something. They don't go very far with it, but there you are. What is human mischief? What is it? I like the term mischief. I have a hard time with the word sin. It's not a bad word. It means the missing of the mark. It has to do with archery. But mischief, we like our mischief, and we look forward to doing it. I know a lot of people that do. They're going to go to Vegas, you know, and get into some mischief, as they say. And I've heard people say this to me over the years about their mischief and how much they enjoyed it. So here I am looking at all of this and listening to people in session work with their mischief. And I have some great questions here about it. I just want to state mischief is, and we'll get into those questions in just a moment, mischief is troublemaking. That's the way I'm going to define it. It is to often do harm or make trouble, and it is to do it sometimes consciously, sometimes deliberately, and sometimes not. And we're going to look at what all of that might mean to us personally. And the real kicker here is that some of our mischief looks like it's not mischief at all. It looks like, this is what you should do. This is what's normal. This is what's right, even. So it goes even into that. Let's take the first question from Todd. And let's see where he is. He's in the north, he says. I don't know what the north means, Todd. I'm sorry. Do we have to give in to our mischief, whatever it may be? My minister calls it sin. And then he goes into, you know, a couple of things like punishing his kids, and he goes into cussing people out and having plans, being obsessed and compulsed by things he wants. He goes into all of that in his email, and it's not, I don't want to get into it, but do we have to give in to our mischief? Okay, so let me get into this a little more seriously. Yes, it's an impulse, and it usually comes from genetic disposition, and it usually happens with those of us who are prone to our DNA to survive. Remember, your DNA is meant to survive. You really have, if you live by the body, if you've committed your life to living biologically, psychologically, if you've committed to impulse, if you've committed to the whole idea of whatever your body reports to you is true, if you've committed to the idea that whatever impulse you might have or instinct you might have that arises in your emotionality through your body and body memory, if those are the ways in which you choose to live your life and those are the perimeters of your living, then yes, you're in trouble. you're going to have great mischief. And I know many people, many men and women, who are totally devoted to the idea and the ideals of their mischief. They think it's their right. They look at it as something that is good, something that they want to do, that they feel is the, what shall we say, the equalizer of other people's mischief, yada, yada, yada. So do we have to? Well, if your impulse to do it and you live according to the body's impulses, yes, you're going to do it. And in Sapolsky's book, Behave, he talks about the whole idea, and it's very true. You have no choice. I mean, to think that you have a choice in how you're going to act in a time when there is maybe deep despair, or there is insult, or there is embarrassment, or there is some kind of social danger that you think you're going to be involved in, and that's going to be the sum and substance of how you're going to deal with it. Yeah, you're going to live by the impulse and the accusations that you hear in your mind of what's right and wrong and good and bad, and people react. It's involuntary. Absolutely involuntary. It's biological. So if you've ever been in a position in your life, and we all have from time to time, where you are surprised by some reaction of someone else who's in their mischief, and they, you know, accuse you of something you didn't do or didn't mean to do, or they don't want to listen to what you have to say about anything that may be going on that they think you did wrong or whatever. It goes around and around. Yes, there's a ton of mischief that goes on with that. And some of that mischief is very painful. It has to do with hurting other people. Usually it means that we get hurt. All of this goes on and on and on. And yeah, it's a big deal. And don't think it's not. It happens to people. It's happened to you. And yeah, we, if you live by the body, for the body, in the body, yeah, it's going to happen. Now, for those of you who seek to transcend, for those of you who don't want to live in that, who are willing to take another road, a road truly less traveled, not like Scott Peck wrote about in his book, a road that is truly less traveled, a road that would be like a Buddha, or maybe a Jesus, or maybe a Lao Tzu, or any great spiritual master, you would not engage in it to the point of like Socrates. He drank the poison. He would rather drink the poison than agree with his enemies in their mischief. He saw a deeper, higher purpose. And I understand that. I do. I totally get what he meant, what he did. We've had these very brave people who have come into this world to show us a different way, and we just simply don't seem to appreciate it very much. But yeah, we don't have to if we are on the path to transcendence. Now, is this a legitimate thing to do? Is this something that we can all do? Frankly, no. I think there are a lot of people, the majority of people in this world, who just simply can't do it. They just can't do it. It isn't going to happen for them. They're not going to transcend. They're not interested in transcendence. They're not interested in anything other than what they believe in, what they like, and they believe in vengeance, pride, vanity, and gratification. That's about it. So when an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth comes up, and a person has the chance to, let's say, bypass that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, they won't do it. They just simply won't do it. It's just not in the cards for them to do, and they will continue on doing the things they do. And along with that will come, of course, all of the karma that emulates from being that rigid and that, shall we say, rigid in their mind, and they'll succumb to whatever it is they have to succumb to emotionally to get whatever they want. And that in itself breaks the character of a person. And you have to have character. You have to be willing to really sacrifice, as it were, what it means to live beyond the mischief of the human impulse. And that has a lot to do with emotion. And people treasure their emotions because this is the treasure trove, shall we say, of all of their mischief. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives. What about, I like this, those of us that don't know what mischief is and we get in it anyway, what happens to us? Well, I don't know what happens to you. You have your own karma to deal with. You have your own life to live in that karma. I have mine, you have yours. So what will happen, I can't tell you specifically because I'm not a soothsayer. I don't know what will happen to you, but I can give you some general broad brush strokes that might help you. So what about the mischief that we don't know about? What happens? Well, we suffer the same consequences. There is deliberate mischief. There's deliberate things that people do to harm other people, to hurt them. And then there is the mischief we do when we don't know that we're harming other people. And we do whatever we do as a means of just our own logical lifestyle. And that doesn't wash away our sin, our responsibility for it. It just means I'm unaware. So a lot of the way life acts and reacts towards us is based in the whole thing that most people assume they know what's right. And this is the big mischief maker. So, Thomas, when you're looking at the idea of mischief, you're not looking at something that is often thought of as deliberate. It is an assumed thing. For instance, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You do something mischievous to me, I do something mischievous to you. I want to show you how that hurts. And you're trying to show me what I did and how it hurt and blah, blah, blah. And we go back and forth like a tennis match. And we just don't really see the meaning of what it is to be mean-spirited. You have to come to a place, and I wrote a commentary about this many years ago. It has to come to a place where the mischief has to stop with me. I have to be willing to stop plundering my life and others with the deceit of my mischief and stop making excuses. Well, I didn't know, or I did this because you did that. That kind of mentality, which a lot of people like to do, that's got to stop. And it's got to stop somewhere. It's got to stop somewhere in some lifetime. And it's typically got to stop with me. I'm going to have to stop. I'm going to have to stop doing my mischief, and I'm going to have to sometimes, and I know that you're not going to like this, any of you, you're going to have to absorb the blows of your mischief and maybe take the humiliation of realizing I am wrong, like Fonzie in Happy Days. I'm wrong. Happy Days, for those of you who are too young to know, was a very popular TV program in the 70s and 80s. Anyway, that's what it's all about. Somewhere along the line of your life, you're going to have a lifetime where you absorb the blows of your own mischief and you don't seek retaliation to harm another person for those blows. And that's just the way it is. So until that moment comes, and that's a rare moment in human history when a person can understand that, then something can change. And Thomas, you have to be a very wise person to understand that. And I hope I was able to help you with that one, because that's a tricky one. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. Is our karma the accumulation of our mischief? And this is from Terry. And Terry lives in Florida. Yes, my karma is the accumulation of all the mischief I have done both in this world and previous worlds, lifetimes I have had, where I have had the, interest in mischief. There are some people who really like mischief, and they just like to see the city burn. They just enjoy it. And their mischief is to start trouble. They're troublemakers. You know them. You've seen them in your life, that you see this person come into the circle of your social existence, and you go, oh, gosh, here we go. And you know it's not going to be a happy event. You just know it. But here we go, and you suffer the consequences of being associated with that person. There are some people who do enjoy it. There are some people who don't know they're doing it. It doesn't matter whether I do it deliberately or I do it out of just not knowing, innocence. It adds to my karma, and I have to see the bigger picture. And I can see many of my listeners right now just shaking their head going, oh, that's BS. I don't believe in that. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. The laws are the laws of this world. And if you get them and understand them and you come to delve into them ever so deeply, you start to realize that this is a very sensitive world that we live in, a very sensitive lifetime that we live in, and that it will help you to understand with awareness the meaning of your existence here on Earth. It will help you live a more intelligent life. So, there you are. I mean, if you get it, you get it. You have to understand, you're not here to have everything you and I want. We're not here to have fame and fortune and popularity and all of that other stuff. We're here to work some things out in us, to open up our hearts, to open up our minds beyond the precepts of our thinking. You have to be interested in being able to understand what you cannot think. You have to be able to be interested in the awareness that occurs when you and I are not making excuses for ourselves about who and what we are. Instead, we are starting to center ourselves within our being and align ourselves with the chord, I always like to call it, of the universe, the tone of the universe, which is love. Absolute perfect love. Now, when that becomes important to you, when you want that more than you want your mischief, more than wanting maybe what makes you happy to see the bad guy fall, the good guy rise, things like that, when you want to go beyond the idea of guilty or not guilty, you want to go into love, you want to mingle with the energy that is love, then something of the other shore can reach you, something beautiful can happen, and something meaningful is on its way. And actually, Terry, that's what it's all about, that kind of meaninglessness. When we live in the meaninglessness of living for and perpetuating mischief, we miss the whole totality of our life. Ah, how we are the way we are, we miss. So don't miss. That's all I've got to say. Thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, if you have a question about this subject, email me at greg@aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. I'm running out of time. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day, and please forgive me, hey? Namaste.